Welcome to this special report with Dr. Quentin Henning. I'm here to talk to Dr. Henning about Novo Resources, their operating performance that they recently reported on, the quarterly operating performance through June 30th. The company is making steady progress on its Beatons Creek project. And so we want to learn about that and what the prospects are for Beatons Creek and beyond. Dr. Henning has some big ideas about what they can do with Novo, not just at Beatons Creek, but throughout the Pilbara Basin in Western Australia. Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Henning.
Always a pleasure, Jay.
It is always a pleasure to have you with us. And I should mention, most of the people, I mean, this is meant for my subscribers. It's meant for other people that might be interested in understanding the Novo story. But Novo trades in Canada, NVO, NSRPF in the U.S., $100.70 I saw in the U.S. money today. 244 million shares gives it a market cap of about $415 million U.S. dollars. So, Dr. Henning, I want to ask you about the latest report. We see a steady progress, and I think you reported that the company was actually cash flow positive in May and June. And I think it's remarkable that you were able to be cash flow positive despite the fact that I think your average millhead grade was 1.3 grams per ton compared to a resource of 2.1 grams per ton. So if you can make money or at least be positively cash flow at 1.3, if you can get to 2.1, I think you don't have to be a genius to understand you can make a lot of money on this project. But talk to us about how you expect to get to that, closer to that average grade that you have in the ground, and get that to the mill.
Certainly. Look, the biggest challenge we've had since startup has been around grade control. We're using the Chrysos technique for analyses. It's a fantastic analytic technique, absolutely perfectly suited for Beatons Creek. What it does, you analyze a fairly large sample size, about a half kilo in one canister, and that half kilo goes through the photon assay machine, gives you a very good number. It does not require wet chemistry or fire assay, and this literally is a black box technique, but it's fantastic data. We actually do 10 canisters per sample, so we ultimately we analyze 5 kilos. You know, 500 grams times 10 is 5 kilos. So we actually get 5 kilograms of assay data per sample. And we're doing our grade control on half meter samples. So as the drill goes down, every half meter we take the cuttings. That's one sample. Cuttings for a half a meter weigh about somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 kilos. We take a half split of that. So we're basically analyzing a quarter of what comes out of the hole. That's remarkable for any gold deposit. Now, we started this process with one laboratory that had the first Chrysos machine. They got a backlog of analyses as soon as other people in Australia found out about the Chrysos. You know, the queue started to grow and we started to slip in priority. And unfortunately, we didn't get our assays as quick as we hoped initially. So that really caused some hiccups. Now, we looked at alternatives. And what we settled on was working with another analytic company that's now bought two Chrysos machines and has given us a commitment for a minimum number of samples per month for each machine, 20,000 samples per machine. So this is excellent news. Basically, it allows us to catch up on the backlog of samples that we've accumulated over the past few months, but also assures us that we have plenty of capacity to analyze grade control samples going forward. Now, what this means is that we now have a much better control, or we're getting a much better control over grade control as time goes on. We can now better differentiate where the low grade or no grade mineralization is, or excuse me, waste is around the mineralization. And that in turn allows us to better differentiate what to mine and results in a higher head grade. Now the guys at site, you know, in the interim, they've had to implement visual grade control practices. And I got to say, they've done a fantastic job. I mean, this is one of the few cases I can think of on the planet where, you know, a mine was successfully operable with visual grade control, basically only in certain places. But the guys pulled it off. So now it's funny because the end result of this is that not only are we going to have all this great data, but we now have geologists, mine geologists, who are tuned in visually to this mineralization, and the combination actually makes it a stronger case going forward. Like, I think we will see a much better performance overall. This will have a silver lining to it.
Right. Well, that you could be cash flow positive with visual grade control. I mean, obviously it should really improve it. So if you can get up to that 2.1 or close to it, I would guess you should be making some nice money.
We've seen those, a steady increase just since we put out our last monthly update. I mean, this is in real time. We're getting a lot of data back. You know, I check my emails in the morning, and I have literally dozens of assay sheets, from that have come in overnight from Australia. So I can see that the data is coming back much quicker, and because of that, I would anticipate a steady improvement all around on that side of the operation. What's even better, the mill, because we've had to compensate, what do? We ramped up production through the mill. Guess what? We're at 1.8 million ton right now, but we do think we can squeeze out about 2 million ton per annum through this mill. Again, we've had to, this situation has forced us to optimize things, optimize recovery, optimize tonnage through the mill. And guess what? The end result is going to be, with these higher grades, are going to come better improvement, in the operation as a whole. So
right. It's
actually, again, a silver lining.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one concern I heard voiced was people look at the mill, throughput to the mill, and it doesn't match what your goals are. But, I think you were something like 1.6, maybe on that track, but now you're at 1.8. You think you'll get to 2.0. But so let's just do a little bit of arithmetic here. I mean, if you're looking at a grade of two grams per ton and, 95, I think you're getting 96%, more than 96% recoveries now, up from last month. You start to do the arithmetic, and it looks like you could get to that sort of 100,000 ounce per year target. I think that's what you have in mind, isn't it?
That's the goal. Look, the PEA that we published a few weeks ago, actually a couple months ago now, that's the stated goal of the economic study. And that's our goal internally. Now, I don't think it'll play out exactly like the PEA. In other words, we have kind of bumped up the tonnage in the mill, and we are taking more dilution. I mean, just, as we cut our teeth and try different mining techniques, or I should say as they have over the past few months, they're starting to find what is probably a practical level of dilution. These are beds. They're about a meter thick. So you're going to take some material above and below them. It's just by default. You're going to have to. And I think that we've gotten, found a comfort zone in there, maybe 30, 40% dilution, a little bit higher than the PEA. But the flip side is the mill, we're operating in a higher tonnage. Therefore, the end result is the same.
Could balance out. Well, Beaton's Creek is one thing, and you have much bigger ideas beyond Beaton's Creek. Talk to us a little bit about Karratha and mechanical sorting, because the thing that's exciting about this is sort of a hub and spokes approach here. You have the mill at Nulligan that you're using now efficiently. If you can produce a concentrate from pretty far away at Karratha, ship it down, and you can pump that through that mill, then you can start to produce a lot of gold with similar throughput. But the important thing is, and this is what I think is so exciting about this company, is you're applying the latest technologies that are available to make something which would otherwise be impossible to make, to be profitable. Out there in that dry desert, out there at Karratha, where there's no water, essentially. So you have this separation, mechanical separation, ability to produce a concentrate in that environment. And I guess the big question, and everybody that's paying attention is looking at, is how effective is this and will it really work? So what do you know about mechanical sorting at this point in time, and when do you think it might be applied from Karratha in the future?
Okay, for those who haven't kept track of our story, I'll give a little bit of background. Okay, sure. So mechanical sorting is really a process where you use a machine. These machines were actually designed for treating waste materials in waste processing facility. Like picking metal out of garbage, for example. But these machines have been adapted to use on mineralized rock material. Okay, so you're starting to see mechanical sorting pop up throughout the mining sector. But we are really the only company that has gone down the path of actually identifying gold particles themselves in the material and sorting on that basis, okay? That this is a big deal. Most companies use a proxy, you know, like, okay, quartz or maybe pyrite or something else to sort on. We're actually sorting on the gold itself because our deposits, for the most part, are coarse gold deposits. Now, what have we done? We've done a lot of laboratory level testing. When I say laboratory, it's, you know, these machines are outside. I'm not talking about them being like in a little dinky tabletop lab or something. We have used machines in Perth and in Sydney to test this, two different companies, Tomra and Steinert. We've recently bought a machine. We had it shipped down late last year in the middle of COVID. We are deploying that. We're going to put it at Beaton's Creek. Mm-hmm. We're actually putting it at the mill site. The reason is because we realize that we can pull in bulk samples from multiple projects across the Pilbara. And because that site is already permitted for operating, we can do the crushing and screening and et cetera that we need to do to undertake these tests. All right, so this is a really neat approach to growing the company from here. We're going to take in material from Karratha, like you said. We feel very confident because most of our test work to date has been around Karratha. We feel very confident we can generate a high product, a high grade concentrate from Karratha that can be trucked down to Nulligan, even though it's like 400 kilometers away. It can be trucked to Nulligan and then put through our mill circuitry at Nulligan. I mean, that's a fantastic outcome. I mean, basically, we're talking about having a gravel operation at Karratha where we sort out a fraction of the gravel, ship it down to Nulligan, and produce gold. All right, so that's the concept behind this. Now, there's other projects we have that also have coarse gold. Contact Creek and Virgin Creek. We think we can do sorting as well on those projects. Talga, which is different. It's not a conglomerate system. It's actually an orogenic load system. Also has coarse gold through it. Okay, and we feel fairly confident we can sort Talga material. Okay, and these deposits are actually not too far away from Beaton's Creek. So right there, you have a very, you know, more East Pilbara centric, you know, potential for growth. All right, but overall, okay, mechanical sorting I see as a big part of our future. Mm-hmm. We are the company. We are the leader in this part of the mechanical sorting world, sorting gold. It reminds me of where the diamond companies were about 30 years ago when they were using mechanical sorters for the first time, and they were able to start picking out diamonds, you know, embedded in kimberlite, for example. We're going down that same route, and I think Novo is going to be a leader in the world in this space.
Yeah, I know you thought that it could be revolutionary for not just Novo, but for many mining projects around the world. So it's
exactly
that's quite exciting. Well, but ultimately, then what you'll do is you'll have the mechanical sorter up there at the project where the mine is. You only have it down at Nulligan now because you don't have the the permits for the whole project up there. So you bring it down to make sure it works, and then, but ultimately, the mechanical sorters will be at the mine sites.
For right now, they will for the test work. We'll call it the field test work. We're going to put them at the Nulligan mill operation, but ultimately they'll be deployed out into the projects. Okay. Now, the part of the reason for the permitting is during this time, COVID and all. There's a boom going on, believe it or not, in Western Australia. Okay, and the people that actually do the permitting work in the mines department, they have precious little time to allocate to each company that's doing working on projects. Okay, so we're allocated a certain number of hours for this regulator, and that person can only do so much. Well, we have other priorities at the moment around Beaton's Creek that we want to get, you know, up to running, up and running, like, you know, permitting the fresh rock, for example, for the next couple of years out and stuff. So we don't want to allocate our time to permitting a lot of things. It'll dilute our ability to get other priorities done. So this is an elegant solution. It puts the mechanical sorter right there where we can use it right now. Mm-hmm. And we can pull in that material. Yes, we can truck it in from multiple sites and do this test work.
Very interesting. You haven't mentioned Egina. Egina is a very exciting prospect as well. What are your plans for Egina right now? I don't believe it's a mechanical sorting prospect, is it?
No, it's a gravity gold recovery prospect. The lag gravels, the gold is free, you know, it's been weathered away and is actually free of matrix. So in that case, we can probably use more conventional techniques. With Egina, we've done a lot of work. We did a lot of work late last year because of the queue, the backlog in the queue of samples that we have for Beatons. We've only now started to get some of the remaining samples, fractions that we collected out of that exercise, into the laboratory to do the Chrysos analysis. We'll be able to talk about that more once all of those are done. But going forward, we recognize that we got to do a trial mining exercise there. We are actually working with the Aboriginal parties, both the Mungarina and Kariyarra peoples, on working out agreements. So our goal is to strike agreements with both Aboriginal groups that have claim to that area, that reserve, so that we can work with them on a long-term basis going forward. We do see that as an important project for Novo and its future. We don't want people to think we've forgotten about it. We just have basically limitations around the work we can do in terms of advancing a trial mine until we get certain things in place, but we are working diligently to make that happen.
Very good. Have to ask you about Victoria. You do have an interest, I think an equity interest in a project in Victoria. I think you've talked about it. You like it as from your using your geological eyes, see a potential Fosterville type deposit there. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the project is called Malmesbury, and we acquired it through two separate deals, one with Kalamazoo and one with GBM Resources. Those two companies each had tenement packages that bolted together, basically encompassed the entire Malmesbury district. The Malmesbury area, historic mining center, a very high grade. It produced ore at about, I think, around 100,000 ounces, about an ounce per ton out of a couple mines. Okay, the thing that really stands out in my view is its position. Geologically, it sits along the east side of the Bendigo zone, which is the same position as Fosterville. So basically, it's in the same geologic realm. It also displays the gold antimony association, which is very, clearly evident at Fosterville. I think it's probably the most Fosterville-like target in the entire Bendigo zone. We're very delighted to have it. We're earning in up to 70% with both parties there. And it will be an important exploration project for us later this year. We've done a lot of geologic work, sampling, mapping, but also structural analysis to help develop the drill targets. And we have a commitment to drill that late this season.
Okay, so we should be seeing some news from there, as well as production news from Beaton's Creek, as well as the mechanical sorting news. Those are the things that I'm going to be looking forward to seeing.
And we have a lot of other exploration. I don't want to look. We actually have a $12 million budget for exploration, and right now they are drilling like mad. I kid you not, around Nulligan area. There are many, many drill targets that are being tested literally right this second in and around Beatons Creek, in and around the greater Nulligan goldfield. Okay, so we have a lot of exploration work going on. One of the new targets that we've identified recently, we have what are called Sunukatoid intrusives. These are the same type of intrusives that host the Hemi discovery that De Grey has made. Hmm. That trend continues south westward onto our northern Egina tenements. These happen to be outside of the Aboriginal reserve, so we can advance these somewhat quickly. We actually are going ahead and doing work on those. Like, we're going to do some air core drilling and stuff like this very shortly. Okay, so. So we have an aggressive exploration program. It's not just Victoria, but the Pilbara. We're spending a lot of money. We have a lot of boots on the ground. Very high quality team. Very proud of the work they're doing.
So these are mostly conglomerate targets, I guess, probably.
Conglomerate and basement. Okay, around Beatons Creek and the Edgen area and so forth. There are conglomerate targets, but we're also testing that basement, like the Hemi, the Sunukatoids. Okay. Those are a basement target. The targets around, say, the east side of the Nulligan camp, those are basement targets.
I know recently Novo raised some money and some people thought that wasn't necessary. You wanted to make sure you were well funded as you start production. Things usually don't go perfectly well when you start up. But now that you seem to have captured a cash flow positive position, I want to ask you, how does your financial situation look right now for Noble?
Overall, we're in very good shape. We got about $46 million in the bank. We are doing aggressive work, though, around Beaton's Creek itself. So that basically resource infill and upgrading exercise is underway. So we have lots and lots of drilling and sampling going on right now. A lot of that money we raise is going towards that. But the operation is cash flow positive. We anticipate that it will continue to improve over time. We've seen about a 800 to 1,000 ounce increase in production per month over the past few months. I anticipate that to continue in July, and we'll hit that steady run rate sometime probably within the next month or so. Okay, in fact, we're probably getting close to it now. All right, so that's wonderful news. That means we'll have that cash coming in. Now, we do have some capital items. We're doing a tailings lift. It's going to give us 2 more years life on this with this next lift. We might be able to do one more after that, but we're doing one more lift right now. It gives us 2 years runway in the tailings facility. The other things we have, we're probably going to build a haul road straight down from Beaton's Creek down to the mill. Later this year, I think we got the final bugaboos worked out around permitting that. That's a huge one because it'll save us a lot of transport and other headaches that we're going through town right now. It's stirring up dust. We want to be respectful of people and not dust their lawns up and stuff. So, you know, we want to get those things in place.
Well, thank you very much, Quentin, for sharing your time with us and allowing us to get an update. It really is very interesting what's going on here for my subscribers and people beyond that. I want to thank you so much for spending the time with us today.
And we'll
keep up with you in the future as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.